Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to UFlex Limited Q3 FY19 earnings conference call hosted by Edelweiss Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Shraddha Sheth from Edelweiss Securities. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Aman. On behalf of Edelweiss, let me welcome you all to the Q3 FY19 earnings call of UFlex Limited. From the management today, we have Mr. Rajesh Bhatia, the Group CFO, and Mr. Rajesh Agrawal, the VP Investor Relations. So without any further ado, I'll hand over the call to Mr. Agrawal and take the call from there. Thank you, and over to you, Rajesh.
Yeah. Thank you, Shraddha. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the third quarter 2019 earnings call of UFlex Limited. On the call today, we have Group CFO, Mr. Rajesh Bhatia, and other members of the senior management team. Our discussions will include predictions, estimates, or other information that might be considered forward-looking. While these forward-looking statements represent our current judgments on what the future holds, they are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially. We are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements, which reflect our opinions only as on the date of this presentation. Please keep in mind that we are not obligating ourselves to revise or publicly release the result of any revision to these forward-looking statements in light of new information or future events. I would also like to emphasize that while this call is open to all invitees, it may not be broadcasted or reproduced in any form or manner. I would now like to invite Mr. Bhatia to share some perspective with you with regard to the company's operations and the result for the quarter under review. After that, we'll open the call to questions from analysts. Over to you, Mr. Bhatia.
Okay. Thank you, and welcome everybody on this Q3 earnings call. It's a pleasure to be with you, all of you. And, you know, I would like to sum up Q3 as a bit of a challenging quarter where, you know, we had, you know, a substantial fall in the crude price coming from, you know, the October beginning levels to about $84-$85 to about $50 levels going down all throughout to 31st of December, which basically, you know, sort of results in, you know, each time the customers delaying their purchases because, you know, they don't want to be saddled with the inventory losses because every time you buy, there is a, you know, better opportunity available a week down the line. So the customers have been trying to buy as minimum as possible and, in fact, liquidate their existing stocks. But despite that, you know, we had a production increase of about 4.5% during this quarter and a volume sales volume increase of about, you know, 3% during this quarter, which very well speaks of, you know, the way, you know, this quarter was handled. And so much so that, you know, in this quarter, with even with our suppliers, you know, IOC and all, we moved away from a fortnightly pricing of PTA and MEG to 7 days, sort of a pricing. And, you know, with they also, you know, sort of giving incentives that, you know, even if you lift stock and there is a substantial fall in the price, you know, they will compensate or they will ensure that, you know, you don't suffer just because, you know, you are, you know, buying the raw materials. So, you know, they have also been concerned that, you know, the constantly falling crude prices have resulted into a constantly falling PTA and MEG prices. So we need to move from a quarterly pricing to a weekly pricing and also give some sort of a comfort to the buyers that, you know, even if within the week there is a huge, you know, difference that comes in play, you know, we be there to address your concerns. So that has been, you know, the quarter from the point of view of the raw material volatility point of view. And you know, even normally also the Q3 is a sort of quarter which is rather subdued from a demand point of view, because you know you're coming away just coming off from you know the festive season, Diwali and other festivals in India, and you know the companies do you know sort of plan their things accordingly to the festive things. So the demand in the pre-festive era is obviously more, and that's what our customers also build for. And similarly, even if we see the exports or the films overseas, you know, that is also coming from you know the Thanksgiving Day as well as the you know the Christmas period, for which you know the customers would have already done their part of the you know the sourcing before in quarter two. So that is the typical you know sort of behavior in this quarter, which in this quarter got accentuated a bit because of constant falling crude prices. So we had while we had the production and sales increase of about 3.1%. The value increase was close to about 18%, which clearly reflects the you know the pricing, the raw material pricing, that you know the crude has been going up all throughout during from the last 1 year, and that does not necessarily mean that you know the margins are going to be higher. In fact, the margins in absolute, in the percentage terms, would look a bit subdued, because you have a top line which is going up by 18%, but the volumes have only gone up by 3% or so. So you would always find that, you know, the percentage EBITDA on the top line looks a bit subdued. But I think, as I've been saying, that, you know, we need to look at more of a number which is per ton number. And I think we've been largely able to maintain that despite this being a difficult quarter. The consolidated EBITDA for the quarter is about 228 crores, which was last, same period last year was about 200 crores. So there's about a 13% increase, 13.5% increase in the EBITDA during this quarter. The PAT is marginally up, given that, you know, now we have we had higher tax as well as the higher depreciation coming from our Sanand plant. On the Sanand facility, what we have currently is this quarter has been the best. So that's a huge plus. And we are today looking at a situation where
Mr. Bhatia, we are unable to hear you, sir.
Can you please check if his line is dropped?
Let me just check that, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, it seems we have lost the line for Mr. Bhatia. Please stay connected while we reconnect him. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, apologies for the inconvenience. We have the line for the management connected. Over to you, Mr. Bhatia. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So we have, you know, aseptic packaging, which has done good in this quarter. We have now up from 32 customers in the last quarter. We have now 40 customers. You know, reaching out and making the top guys as our customers also has made some progress. But, you know, even without that, we are currently looking at a rate of about 100 to 120 million packs a month. And that's what I think we'll be able to achieve. And with that, I think, the operating losses at the Sanand facility, we will not have in going forward in the Q4 with that kind of, operations. So that really sums up, the working during this quarter. A difficult quarter from an environment point of view, but equally impressive growth from the industry leader UFlex, both in India and overseas markets. And we are looking forward. The demand for BOPET, continues to be quite strong in India as well as overseas. And overseas, our plants, wherever we had some sort of lesser capacity utilization, are now inching towards 100% capacity utilization. So I think in FY20, we will have all our films businesses going up to at least 100% capacity utilization levels, or maybe even more than that, as we see the strong demand growth in the moped industry.
Yeah. So should we open this for Q&A, sir?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nitin Dharmawat from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So my question is, what are the current BOPET spreads?
So current BOPET spread, if you see today, the BOPET is now, last quarter, what we had in the BOPET for us was about the basic 12 micron film was about 26, 27 rupees. But the value added films and all that takes our margins to, about 47 or so.
Okay. So I think last quarter it was around 50. So because BOPET prices have also decreased as we've been tracking the output prices by some 30 rupees or so. So is there a corresponding decrease in the raw material too?
So when I tell you this is the gross margin, what I am telling you, sales
right.
minus
right.
the raw material cost. So
right.
with the falling prices, the raw material prices, so obviously, the customers don't want to order only what they have the immediate requirements. So there is no stocking that they do, and that puts a bit of a pressure on the prices. Currently, so when I say average for the quarter has been about 47, a bit more than that, but I think we will have this corrected in January, and we've already seen that already happened now.
Right. Okay. Now, some color on Asepto. What is the status now? And
Asepto, I have already said that this was probably the best ever quarter for the Asepto. I'll say that, we even in this quarter, we still had operating losses. And going by the visibility our marketing team have about 100 to 120 billion packs in a month. So Q4 looks like the first quarter in which, you know, we will not have any operating losses on the accepting. The customer base, the customers to whom we are actually supplying is now above 40, which was about 32 in the last quarter. And when we are going into now the season, which is from, let's say, January, and then it becomes better in the month of March and subsequently as the summer sets in, I think we'll consolidate our position in this market.
Okay. That will be all from my side right now. If I have anything else, I'll come back.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Santalia from AK Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Amanji.
So my question is regarding the BOPP and BOPT. How is the outlook of BOPET right now and how is the margin currently in the BOPET segment?
So as I said that, you know, current margins are better than the last quarter margins. You know, after Diwali, immediately there was a kind of a setback on the margins because, you know, the prices, food prices keep on coming down. And, you know, the demand also wanes during that period. So it really affects the offtake and all that. And that is where what you also don't want to keep stocks. And that's what I think we did nicely, that, you know, we didn't allow any stocks to build up. So we were also selling constantly. And, you know, when the prices are falling constantly, you have to also make your moves very, very fast. Because if you think that, you know, I'm going to hold it now and not sell for the next 7 days, you are settled with us, not only with the stocks, but also with the stocks which have a lower realizable value in the market. So we as a policy this season, we said that, you know, whatever is the prices, we going to sell at that. And, you know, as, you know, the raw material started going up, now it's about 62 levels or so. So, you know, and the festive and the new demand came after the festive season got over. So things are, you know, much better in the month of January. So I think the margins on the BOPET side we'll be able to maintain, may go up from a Q3 levels. BOPP, we are seeing that, you know, the bottom has already been tested. So we're seeing some, you know, growth in the margins in the current quarter.
So, sir, so how is outlook for the
5% or so increase in the, you know, the margins in the current quarter.
So, sir, how is the outlook for the next 2 years in the BOPET?
So, BOPET, I think in India currently, we will have one facility coming up somewhere in the month of June or so. So that capacity will have to, will get absorbed, given that, you know, for the last year and a half, we don't have any capacity added. So I don't see much of, you know, sort of impact on the BOPET. And I strongly believe that, you know, the BOPP cycle will, which is down for the last couple of years now, will become better as we see go over the FY20 and beyond.
I just know about the overseas outlook, because most of the capacity in the BOPET is outside India. So how is the outlook outside India, sir?
So outlook outside India continues to be strong. There is no let up there. And, you know, in the current year, like, you know, we while in USA, in Egypt, and in Poland, you know, for the last couple of years, we are operating at more than 100% capacity levels. But, you know, in the places like Dubai and places like Mexico now, so Mexico FY18, we produce about 36,000 tons. And in FY19, we are looking to close that year with about 54,000 tons. Similarly, we are seeing that, you know, Dubai is now operating close to about 90% capacity, which, you know, so whatever is a bit of margin going to 100%, I think in FY 2020 we will cover that. But even if we go by FY 2019, we look at these two places, I think there has been a substantial increase in the, you know, the productivity levels at these two facilities. Other facilities, including India, were already operating at their, you know, sort of full capacity levels.
And sir, one question regarding this pharma packaging. So when we can see some good turnover coming on, coming up from this division, which recently we have got the patent?
See, the patent thing will take some time because, you know, first is you, because you formulated some new, you know, innovation, you go and do that patent. And then you start working with the, on the development of that, the small lots and testing, etc., and all that. You keep on doing that constantly. So that part is on, but I think this will not be an immediate story, but it will take a couple of years before, you know, the whole plans, everything else is formulated. We'll also have to start small and look at as to, you know, what is the market response to solutions like this. There could also be, as of now, we don't have, but there could also be a possibility of somebody else also coming out with some of the solutions. So I think it will emerge. It's a very great start and great beginning, but next couple of years will be crucial from the point of view of, you know, really getting into a stage of how do we commercially produce it, how do we test it out in the market, and then based on that response, because the market for this is humongous. So based on that response only, we'll have to plan, you know, as to what are the CapEx we will need for this particular production.
Sir, one last question regarding this margin packaging. Whether we can see some improvement in the packaging margin?
So I think because, you know, if we've seen Q3 prices for the films were higher. So Q4, the Q3 prices will become applicable for a quite a large number of customers. So I think we'll get some benefit in the current quarter of that lag effect, which comes into play in this quarter. Because, you know, currently the price is about 60, 62. Last quarter, we've seen a high of 85 and coming down all the way to 50 levels on 31st of December. So there'll be some positive impact coming for the packaging in this quarter.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Runjhun Jain from Nirmal Bang Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just two, three questions. As we are seeing the reduction in the crude oil prices, so it impacts our raw material prices also. No? So why we are seeing there is no improvement in the gross margins? The gross margins have not shown any improvement.
So, see, that's what I've been explaining. When the prices are falling constantly, you know, first of all, I think the answer lies in the fact that while the volume increase is 3%, the value increase is 18%. Okay? So if you say that, you know, whatever is the value, volume increase, that only culminates into the value increase, then you'll find your answer that the margins are very stable, about 13.5%. But because the raw material prices have gone higher, that does not necessarily in our business translate into that, you know, you will keep on getting your 13.5% margin. What you will get is a fixed per ton margin largely. So the higher raw material prices for us will not result into a higher percentage margin. All that we need to do during this time is maintain our margins per ton basis and not let it affected by a very sharp variation in the prices of a basic raw material, which is CPA, MEG and polymers. So that's how the industry works.
So is it right to assume that our margins per ton would have maintained, but because of the higher raw material prices in the initial part of the quarter, the margins are not reflecting that kind of improvement?
Absolutely. You're right.
So second, you said that the tax rate has increased due to the commissioning of the aseptic facility. I didn't understand the logic. I mean, why the tax rate would be higher?
No, I didn't say that. I only said that in the current quarter, there is an impact of some depreciation. And then, in some of our businesses, now we have a higher taxation, like, as we are making more money particularly in the business in Mexico, in our business in Egypt. So there, the amount of taxes, the kind of exemptions or the kind of the depreciation benefits or the exemption benefits we may have had. So that has now probably been consumed, fully. So there is a larger impact of taxation on our results now.
So going forward, we should take this as a base, sir?
Not this as a base because, in this quarter, there is about 8 crore of a tax which is relating to some sale which happened in the previous years and et cetera and all that. So the money kept on flowing. So about 8 crores in the current quarter, if I see the tax at about 19.6 crores, so minus 8 crores would be the normal kind of a tax. So you can see the PBT to tax ratio and all that, and that would be a normal tax rate.
Sure. Thank you. Sir, in the past quarters, you have been giving in broad terms, I know you don't share division-wise volumes and all that, but you have given some indication about the volume growth in packaging versus the film division. It would be really helpful if you can give us some indication on that.
I think we'll address that offline.
Okay. Sir, there is the CAPEX plan. Is there any major CAPEX plan you are planning? Because you said that next year, most of the facilities would be at capacity utilization of 100%. So is there any CAPEX in pipeline?
I think there is one CAPEX plan which was already sort of communicated, which is like, we're setting up a new facility in Hungary. And, this apart, we are still trying to see as to, what we are doing, because, this facility is going to make about 40,000 tons of films. It takes, to absorb that kind of a capacity over the current capacity. So it's going to take a while, next couple of years before so 2 years it takes for those plants, for the plant to come up, and it will take about a couple of years for that capacity to get fully absorbed. So I think as we go down the line into our, investment into these plants, that's probably the time we will take a view as to, whether we need to do something more or, this should be. This is what we should look at currently.
So what would be the CAPEX for this one?
This plant would be about 60 million euros.
60 million, and this is it right to say as of now, for next 2 years, this is the only big CAPEX which we have planned?
Yes, you can reasonably say so.
And the work is going to start now on this plant, so it would take another 2 years,
yeah,
as you said, to come up.
Yeah.
And this would be, sir, basically BOPET or BOPP?
So this will be some kind of a special value-added film, BOPP-based, but not the normal BOPP that we are currently making in our various facilities.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. I'll be in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Agarwal from India Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. My question is on the stack. What is the status on the new holographic capacity and how long you think will be the ramp up of this capacity once it's commissioned? Because considering you have already got a very robust order book on holography.
So the current holographic, this expansion is still not complete. I think we are delayed in that already. My take is that, you know, we will take another 6 months to probably complete this. And then the ramp up for a capacity like this will take about a couple of years.
Okay. Okay. Also, in you think there was any inventory loss or inventory loss drag on the EBITDA in the Q3, considering the prices kept falling, and you would obviously maintain some kind of stock?
So I think that ultimately gets reflected in an EBITDA, because if the prices are constantly falling, so whatever raw material you have purchased in, you know, basis the, you know, the previous week or previous fortnight, and you've made now the final finish inventory, and now when you actually go and sell in the market, the prices are lower. So they get adjusted accordingly. But to assume that, you know, in a constantly steeply falling scenario of the raw material prices, which is, you know, in this quarter has been at about 40% variation from a high of 1st October to 31st December, I think it is reasonable to assume that, you know, you will have a higher cost of the raw material, and if you're not taking a decision to sell it well in time, then your losses will always keep on mounting. But as I said, that, you know, we've been very proactive in that situation and have not held back any stocks. So whatever be the prices, we've been liquidating the stocks. So we've not let the situation go out of the control where, you know, you just wait that, you know, somebody says that, you know, no, now it is from 85, it's back to 60. So you should hold on to this. We've not been doing that. And we've been, you know, as we produce, we are selling whatever is the market price, whatever is the market demand at that point in time, we've been selling. But yes, there could be a situation where, you know, you bought a raw material at a higher cost, and by the time you converted that into finished goods, the pricing levels operating are different. So this gets reflected in the EBITDA for sure.
So that cycle could reverse in this quarter, right? Because the cycle of crude oil prices started moving up a little.
So I think because, you know, in the film business, you know, the prices increase or decrease does not happen with a lag. So a stable 60, 62 kind of a number, or whatever may be the number, if it is stable, range bound with, between, you know, 2-3%, so that will always give you a better margin, because, you know, each side you will not be, you know, affected either by higher raw material prices or a lower raw material prices. So, but I don't say that, you know, that gets reversed. I only say that gets normalized, because you know that, you know, it's the raw material is in a range bound. So, you know, neither your customers are avoiding any purchases because the prices are falling. So prices are constant. So everybody is, the business is back to its normal cycle.
Okay. So could you put a number of the most idealistic absolute margin or per ton or per kg basis? Like you said, it's in the specialty films, it's about 46-47, which was 50 in the last quarter. So
that's a blended margin on the BOPET.
That's a blended margin. Okay, so my question is, let me put this way: is it the best you think you can see, or you think the best is yet to come, or what is the most idealistic margin you think you can get in a good cycle like this? or you can expect?
So I think the cycle in the BOPET industry is currently only on an up dip after, 2014-15 kind of a low margin. And it is currently, we've seen that FY19 has better margins than FY18. And going into FY19 also, we expect better margins than the current thing. I think if we are able to achieve 5 to 6% extra margin in FY20, I think we happy with that sort of a situation.
Okay. So one last question. But just before I ask this question, I first would like to congratulate you to start this process of doing earnings calls and being more open to the investor forums. And I think it's a great process in making it a habit. So that's congratulations on that. And therefore, I'll ask this question that if someone had invested in Uflex, let's say in 2010, he would still not be making money. And I understand that you have joined the company about one and a half, two years back. But if you see this time from 2010 to now, the company has grown leaps and bounds, not only in terms of value-add product mix like Acepto and Holography and maybe Avalu in the coming years. Company has grown, the business cycle of the traditional film business has improved. So where do you think we are lacking? Because if we still see the valuation multiples of the company, both in terms of earnings and book, we are still really, really cheap with any standard of metric for any sector. So what do you think is there a plan? Did it ever come to the management level that we can do something about it, like you announced a promoter preferential allotment last year, which got cancelled and there's no updates on that. Mm. Could it be a promoter buyback or a company buyback? In summary, let me put it this way, sir. If you were an investor in my place, what would your expectation and what would your advice be to the management?
So I think largely the stock market bets are for a slightly longer period. So the first thing is that, you said that 2014 onwards, people have not made money. Yes, if you look at today's level, yes, they would not have made money. But, the stock was also hovering around 500 till about a year ago. And it was there at about 450 levels to 500 levels for a considerable point of time. We all know as to, why the markets are a bit down and then, there are concerted efforts because our stock particularly, the trading volumes are extremely thin. And frankly, as of now, it hasn't caught on to the fancy of the big investors who think that, this is clearly, there is an undervaluation. So I think all our efforts in starting the con call or, meeting the investors separately will ultimately, help us, to get a better, position vis-a-vis, we being understood well in the investor community. And that's been our endeavor. So if the business is performing consistently, if the business is the market leader in its category, is generating decent enough returns. I know that, we can't be a startup company with a multi-decade valuation, but, in our industry also, there are kind of valuations which we are currently not commanding. And maybe that there is some history to that, but, we need to forget that, considering that the company's performance continues to grow on a year-on-year basis. So I think with more effort from the management, with more effort from our side, and being more communicating to the markets, meeting out large fund houses and giving them presentations or telling them about the company, I think it will make an impact. And clearly today, I see that the stock where it is, so you know there is a clear the market is today directionless. You know, we are only seeing the large cap stocks and very few going up, and others are only sideways. So I think today market we cannot compare with a normal situational market. So I think let the thing settle down after elections, and our effort on the investors communication and meeting the investors continues. So we'll achieve that. You can't, nobody can ignore underperformance, you know, for a long time. And when there is a market is devoid of ideas as to, you know, where do you make money. So I think we will reach where our deserving position is. I have no doubts on that too.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Bhakta from First Water. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So, again, coming to the inventory issue which you have addressed in some of the earlier Q&A, what I want to understand is, as you said, there was obviously some kind of a hit because the prices moved up in the last quarter. But you said that the reverse does not hold true. Since the prices are decided on a daily basis, so are you essentially saying that as an industry, the customer set, which tends to be pretty, let's say, standardized vis-a-vis your peers, they do not allow you any, leeway to recover some of your inventory losses which you incur in previous quarters, because in most other industries there is a certain lag effect in terms of adjustment. So that is typically not seen by your industry in the past?
No. So I think you've got it probably understood it wrongly. What I said that, you know, whatever is sold on a spot price is sold. In the film business, everything is decided on the spot. Okay. Now, if we are seeing that the current crude price is 62, and next 15 days, if you go and you find that it is there at 55, so my customer will shy away. He said that, you know, I can see that the 55 levels in about a week's time or 10 days time or 15 days time. So what I'll do is, as a business, I'll say that, you know, I'll not maintain, I'll just remain hand to mouth on the inventory and would not like to buy now. Therefore, my buying, whatever inventory I have, I'll hold on to that, because I don't want to be saddled with the unnecessary inventory losses, that I buy the inventory today and by the time next 15 days, my output is out, the crude price is down, so I'll not do that. So that's the tendency that sets in when there's a sharp, sort of a movement in the prices. Similarly, you know, when the prices of the crude will move up, let's say very sharply also, that's the time the customers want to buy more always. Because now they see that, you know, fortnight henceforth, the crude is going to be 70. So if I lock in my orders today, so, you know, I'll have some gain on the inventory. Now, where
that is the stocking effect of the customer. So that should affect your volume, not necessarily the pricing. No,
why not pricing? If the constantly prices are coming down and you have to sell, so what will you do? If you see that the crude, people are not buying, so either you do one thing, either you hold on to your prices and you hold on to your stocks, and by another week, when the price of the raw material will be down by $5. So in any case, you will have to look at selling with the new price of the raw material. So might as well sell at that point in time itself, no? So in the film business, you don't recover what you have sold on the spot. But in the packaging business, because the prices are linked to certain indices and they work with a lag effect, now when the prices are, the average prices for the current quarter
are less than the average price for the last quarter, and while you still bill them on the last quarter prices, so they'll be, you've recouped a part of your losses which you suffered earlier when the raw material prices were going up.
Right.
So let's say from September, from September 17 to September 18, if the prices moved up from $50 to $85, and it happened, kept on happening each quarter and quarter, so you kept on losing that those margins because your prices, while your spot prices were higher, your applicable prices for billing to the customer were based on the last quarter prices, which were lower than the current spot prices. So in the current quarter, the prices are around 60, and if my average price for the last quarter is, say, 70, so I will get that advantage in the current quarter in the packaging business, but in the film business, whatever is sold, sold is sold, and there is no further recoupment unless you have a situation, you know, where, you know, the prices are going up very, very sharply and you are able to price those sharp increases into the spot prices, which also happens, you know, but those windows are really very small windows and all that. Maybe generally last only a quarter, as we've seen last quarter from 85 to 50 within a 90 days period, and thereafter now it is quite settled. So the business is back to the normal.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vihang Subramaniam from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Ritesh here from Ambit. So I just wanted to take your views on the new capacities which are coming up in the country on BOPET and BOPP. And you said that BOPP, the worst is over. So could you just give us a sense that what makes you think so? I mean, we already, I think there are already some new capacities, at least globally, that are coming in. So could you just give us a sense on demand supply for BOPET and BOPP? And especially we are seeing some bit of slowdown on countries like China and countries like US, for example. And do you think that probably, let's say, shocker could come in from on BOPET and BOPP side from slowing demand globally? Could that be the case as well?
So as I said, that currently the international prices are for the BOPET are good. BOPP, we've already seen that the capacities which came up, and you know there was not one capacity which came up, there were a couple of capacities which came up, and you know they are all trying to you know, sort of recover. Generally, I would say that, you know, as we are seeing one plant coming in this 2019 for BOPET in India. And BOPP right now, you know, to my knowledge, frankly, I think there are no capacity additions happening. And the last capacity additions in the BOPP, which happened, you know, they happened in a, they got all bundled, and that is why the prices were only falling, and so much so that people were only recovering their costs at a point in time. There has been some increase in the prices in the BOPP in the last fortnight or so. And, the you know, typically in India, if we are seeing that, you know, as a current, if we are producing, say, about 40,000 tons, and there is a growth rate of about, per month, I'm saying, and there is a growth rate of 8 to 9%. So one plant absorption does not take you more than 3 to 5 months kind of a situation. But if you have the couple of capacities which come on stream at a point in time or every 3 months and all that, so that really worsens the situation, and that's what happened in BOPP. So BOPP currently we're not seeing any lines happening. Internationally also we are not seeing any BOPET new facilities you know, sort of happening internationally. Again, you know that, you know, we are only a BOPET player. We just one facility in Egypt where we make the BOPP. So, you know, I think it's relevant to talk more about the BOPET rather than the BOPP international markets.
So BOPET, you are reasonably confident
may,
that...
Yeah, BOPET may be confident that, you know, we'll be able to get good demand. And currently also the demand is strong, and as I've said that, you know,
if in Mexico from a 36,000 tons production in FY18 to about 54,000 tons in the current FY19, we are on course to achieve that. And in Dubai also, from about 3,000 tons per month to about 4,200 tons per month currently. So, you know, these are sharp increases, and, you know, they only point towards, good demand in the industry.
Got it. And so just could you just take me through what was, let's say, YTD FY19 realizations have been for BOPET? You told us that basic...
I don't have the number, but would it be
lower than the FY19 average right now, or would it be better than FY19 average?
Where? In the current quarter?
Yeah, I mean, or let's say currently as we speak, I mean, BOPET realizations would be similar to what you have achieved.
So currently, BOPET and BOPP are both better than the last quarter.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Agarwal from India Capital. Please go ahead.
Okay, I think I just missed asking the last question. I mean, just continue from the conversation already had. You had done a pref allotment last year to the promoters, which you subsequently cancelled. So is there any update on that?
No, I think there's currently no update on that.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ojaswi Akarwal as an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Sir, this is regarding the pair of shares that some companies have done in the last one quarter. So, could you tell me is this some loan that they've taken for reflex only or for personal purpose, or what is it?
No, it's not for UFlex.
Okay, it's not for UFlex. Okay, sir. That'll be all. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, we have the next question from the line of Siddharth Mohta from Principal India. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Sir, company will be making strong operating free cash flow in FY19 and FY20. So how are we planning to utilize it? I do understand that there will be a couple of
FY20, we also have large repayments also. All cross put together, I think we have about close to about, I think, 500 crores of the payments also. If I've understood your questions, you're saying that, you know, will there be a buyback or other? So I think the endeavor is now to, you know, bring down the debt. So we are looking at, in the overseas business, we'll actually be debt-free except for the Mexico plant in the next 2 years. So there'll be only working capital debt. There is some debt at the Poland, which we prepaid during the last quarter. And, the Poland was, the Poland plant was actually in a position where it could repay all its debt, as well as not avail working capital facilities from the bank, and broadband down to zero levels. So we are constantly looking at reducing the debt. But next FY20, I think we have been take care of about 450 crores of a term debt repayment.
Okay. And, sir, currently, what would be our total debt, including short-term and long-term?
2,100 crores.
So, technically, that then it means that might be at the end of FY20, it will reduce to around 1,800 crores. 1,700 to 1,800 crores.
But I also said that, there's a capex in Hungary, which is planned. So, there could be some additions because of that also.
Okay, so hence, sir, I'm assuming like 100 to 150 crore of increase in the debt. So technically, then I can assume from 2100 crore it might decrease to around like 1800 to 1900 crore. So net, there should be some decrease actually. That is number.
Yeah, there should be.
And sir, secondly, sir, has there been any improvement in packaging per ton margin, because our focus has shifted towards specialty segment? So where we are on that front?
No, but as we've been saying, that the packaging margins are a bit under cloud for the whole of FY19, because you know the lag effect has been remaining on each quarter. And Q4 this year will be the first quarter we'll see as to how that lag effect plays to our advantage in this quarter. Assuming that, you know, the spot prices remain at these levels, 60-62. So I think that is where we will see that, you know, how the margins really shape up. Secondly, there is a consolidation already happening in this industry. You know, you would have seen some recent, you know, packaging small businesses selling out and all that, and, you know, the things getting consolidated into bigger hands. So I think with that also, the margins will definitely improve. Currently in India, if I see, and overseas markets, if I see, you know, whether I take films or I take packaging, the margins in the overseas businesses, not for me as such, but for all the other industry leaders, are much better than as compared to the margins in India, whether we take films or whether we take, you know, the packaging business. In the packaging business, you will find that, you know, the global players are able to work at about 13-15% kind of a margin. And in India, we see that the margins are about, for the large players, are about, currently would be about at about 10%. So there is a, you know, consolidation which will, you know, result in better margins and all that.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, please.
Yeah, thank you everyone for joining us today, and we look forward to staying in touch in future quarters. Have a nice day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Yeah.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Edelweiss Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.